That's the downside. You hear all the sound from the computer on the sound system. I can change that, though. Yes, it got quiet. All right. We are on page number 73, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. We're on the study number 10 here in the ABCs of Christian growth. Yeah, you turn off the background music and it gets real quiet, right? All right. Last week it was the week before last. We talked about Jesus Christ being the perfect man and Jesus Christ being God. And then we talked about now we're going to talk about Jesus was born of a virgin. And then we'll see how far we get on the rest of them. There's quite a few others as well here. So we'll pick up here in our study. It says, from what you have learned above, the Lord Jesus Christ is a man and he is God. He is not 50% human and 50% divine, but 100% perfect in his humanity and 100% perfect in his deity. How can this be? It is the God-man. That is what he is. That is who he is. Although we cannot fully comprehend this truth, it is a fact clearly taught in the Bible. If we look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This verse says that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Remember back in study number 7 and the Bible teaching of one God manifest in three persons. In studying about the Lord Jesus Christ, we must appreciate the fact that of one person with two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. While we will never understand this truth, we can see how it was accomplished in the miracle of the virgin birth of Christ. So, 3 points here on that. If Jesus had a human mother and a human father, he would be just another man, sinful, needing to be saved, and totally incapable of saving himself, let alone others. If Jesus had no human mother and no human father, he would be unapproachable as God, holy and dwelling in light and accessible. The Bible teaches Jesus to be the Son of Man because Mary was his mother and the Son of God. Something, just a side note, the Essenes, I don't know if you've ever heard of them before, but they were those who believed, and in fact, John the Apostle wrote concerning this. That's why he over and over again said, spoke about Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. The Essenes denied that Jesus came in the flesh because they thought that God could not be touched with the flesh, the infirmities of the flesh. And so they were, they would teach that he was just 100% God and he didn't actually come in the flesh. That some of that stuff that the apostles were saying, they said, was not true. Because of their doctrine that God cannot be approached or God cannot be seen and so forth. So the way this works is through becoming flesh, as John 1:14 says. Now, we look at Isaiah 7:14. Bless you. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This Old Testament prophecy of Christ declared that a virgin, sorry, I messed it all up. I just read the word you were supposed to read. That a virgin would conceive. There you go. Next one here. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, he was found with child of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, she was... Nope, next one. Espoused to Joseph. but they had not come together as husband and wife in marriage. And then the last point on this section, letter D here, Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary was the miraculous work of the Holy Ghost. Very good. The birth of Jesus was indeed supernatural. Now we'll look at the death of Jesus Christ. Now, his birth and his death testify to him being human, okay? And his resurrection, ascension, and return testifies to him being God, okay? So we've dealt with his birth, now we're talking about his death. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And in Matthew 1:21, it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This reminds me, did any of you get an email from me this week? Or maybe it was last week. It was just this week. An email, probably not you, because I know you don't have an iPhone. And probably not Brother Jim either. I sent an email, including some of you who have Apple devices, for a Bible memory thing. Sorry. If you're broken, you need help getting the app, let me know. We'll hook you up. But it is an awesome tool to memorize verses. I kind of gave you like a tutorial of it a while back. Well, we found out how to actually share memory verses, which is really cool. So like Luke's been sending me the memory verses and saying, hey, let's memorize this one together. Let's memorize this one together. And you can see each other's progress, like as you go through and memorize it. You can do it on your iPad, I think. What's that? Well, it shows you the progress through it's like a game to memorize the verse. You got to get the app so you can see. But here, I'll give you an example. I'm going to try to make it real quick. It's called verses. Here it is. Okay, and like I can go to my collections here. Here's the collections I'm a part of. I invited you to hide the word, all of y'all. One passage. But these are some that other people are in, like 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, man, he added a verse. See, I did have mine all done. Now I've got it. See how it's like this. Beep. Now I've got to do that last little bit there. But what I have done, I've memorized completely. So these are the people on that in that group that Luke created. And it's 1 Corinthians 13. This is one passage that we worked on, then another passage that we worked on, and then another passage that we're working on. So I've done these two and not this one. And these blue things show who, on the passage, it shows how far the whole group is. So somebody hasn't finished this passage yet. And somebody hasn't finished that passage. None of us have finished. What's that? Here's me and Amelia. We were working on John 3:16 and Romans 1:16. But I finished both of them. We're still waiting on her. But when you go into the, let's say, like, for example, I'll go to, I'm not going to take the whole passage, but I'm going to just go to, because here's the thing too, if you're in a group or in a collection and somebody says, let's memorize these six verses, you can actually go to the chapter and memorize them one verse at a time. Anybody in the group can pick verses and add it to that collection. So like verse 8 here, we'll say memorize. And here's how you add it to a collection. Tap on 8 and you can say add to collection. And then you can put it in whatever collection you're a part of. Or you can create a new collection. Or you can add it to your own personal verses. Memorize. And then there's a game, it's tap to reveal. So you tap it and it says, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. That's all for that verse. It finished. You can listen to it. It's not making any sound. So we'll just skip that one. And then there's other things here like a word bank. It leaves blanks, and then you pick which word goes in the blank. And there's like four levels of this. Like each level, it takes more words out, and you have to find them. And then when you've got it memorized, then you type it out. And you can say, charity never faileth, but whether there be tongues. Oh, whether there be prophecies. Yeah, they shall cease. No, they shall fail. See, and you can type through. I'm just like, I didn't even really try to memorize it, but go. So see how I got a little bit of it wrong? It will make me, it'll say, well, you're close, but you need to do it again. It'll make you get it right at least twice before it'll like pass you on it. So anyhow, that's the way that works. But if you get that app, you can just join that group that I have added you all to. And we can memorize together. I think it's pretty cool. All right, so we read those two verses, and it got me on that sidetrack there. But the thing here, we're on page 74, letter A, of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to save. See how I jumped all the way to something else and then right back where I was? All right. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for sinners. Yes. Let's see. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What was laid upon Jesus when he died on the cross? The iniquity of us all, our iniquities. Very good. Romans 5:10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We are reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ. Galatians 4:5 says, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. By his shed blood, Jesus is able to redeem those who trust him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For whom was Christ given? The world. Very good. Romans 10:13. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just assumed you guys all had that memorized. Who may avail themselves of the death of Christ to be saved? Whosoever. Meaneth me and you and anybody else. Yes, that's all one word. All one word, no spaces. All right. John 19:30. What's funny here, it says 19:30C. It's a short verse. Who needs the whole? I mean, why would you just cut off like the third section of the verse? When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And then Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness, well, 1:3D, we'll read the whole thing. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Does anything need to be added to the death of Christ on the cross to complete our salvation? about baptism? Amen. No. Church attendance. No. No. None of that for our salvation. But the Lord is pleased for us to be faithful and obedient. Although that's not a part of our salvation, but our salvation will produce faithfulness and obedience. John 20. Did I skip it? Oh, yeah, there we go. I had another. Oh, I skipped the other verse. I'll read that. On the last one that we did here, it was Hebrews 10:12. It says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Now we look at John 20, verse 1. It says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. On what day of the week did Jesus rise?" The first day, and it is our Sunday. Very good. Matthew 12:40 says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." How long was Jesus in the tomb? 3 days and three nights. Simple arithmetic demonstrates that the impossibility of a, quote, Good Friday crucifixion. Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday and spent 72 hours in the tomb. I've tried doing the math on all that and stuff. It can get confusing whether you're going like night to day to night to day. Anyways, we realize that he was resurrected on the first day of the week, and he wasn't crucified on Friday. We'll just leave it at that. Some argue that it was a Thursday. Some argue that it was a Wednesday. I'm not going to play mathematics right now. We can do that another time, but it wasn't Friday. So, although, you know, hey, Fridays are good too, but every Friday is a good Friday because of what Christ did for us on a day other than Friday. 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 8 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and of the 12. After that he was seen," I don't want a free t-shirt, go away, "that he was seen of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." Where am I here? Here we are. List the appearances of the resurrected Lord. Cephas, the 12, above 500 brethren, then James, all the apostles, and Paul. Very good. Very good. Romans 4:25 says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Why was Jesus raised from the dead? For our justification. Now, I don't want to spend a bunch of time on this, but there are other reasons, but this is related to this this study, the passage. Right. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things we can say about why he rose again. But according to this verse, he rose again for our justification. So I just want to make sure that we understand, like, when we're going through these studies and we're using quote-unquote proof texts to find certain things, that we don't rule out other things, okay? So, like, just because we say this doesn't mean that when somebody says, "Why did Jesus rise from the dead?" That's the answer every time. No. Yes, that's the answer in this context, yes. But he rose from the dead for many reasons. So I just want to make sure that, you know, because it's easy to just, "Thus saith Romans 4:25 and then forget the rest of the scripture altogether and say, he rose for our justification, and spend all your focus on that. Yes, he rose for our justification. Yes. But there's other reasons as well. But praise the Lord, he rose. He defeated death. And there's so many things. That's a whole, you could spend a whole sermon on why did Jesus rise from the dead, you know, and it'd be a pretty cool thing. So those of you who might be preaching at some point, you might just scratch that down, you know, and why did Jesus raise from the dead? All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. There's an example, by the way. What did he do? By his resurrection, he begat us and gave us an inheritance, which is, and so on. So there's an example. But anyways, according to this scripture, because of the glorious resurrection of Christ, each believer has a lively it's all you we have a lively anybody know hope very good of a wonderful inheritance reserved in heaven. Very good. I'm gonna get a marker out and start underlining words. Problem is, I move it and then it won't work anymore. Got to get an overhead projector that I can. Old school. Yeah, those are probably no longer in existence. All right, next section here, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may actually finish this study. And then next week, make sure you read your Trail of Blood, because we're going over that next week if we finish this week. So either read through the Trail of Blood or at least go through and find the answers. Because we're not going to open the book and find the answers while we're going over the study. I'm just going to say, read the verse, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, and then when we get to the point where it's answering from the Trail of Blood, I'm just going to ask the question and what's the answer? All right? Need help? Give me a call or something. We can work it out. If you have Kindle, you can get the book for $1 on Kindle, and Kindle's searchable. So I just told everybody how to cheat. Sorry. If you do cheat, you should still read the book. It's a good book. And if you have Kindle and you have an iPhone, you can listen to the book. You just swipe two fingers down from the top and they'll read it to you. All right. Acts 1. 3 and 9 says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse number 9 says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. When did Jesus return to heaven? Day after he said those things, but how long was it after his resurrection? According to verse 3. 40 days. 40 days, yes. So, does anybody know how long it was from the point that he rose, he rose from the dead, 40 days, and then he ascended? How many days was it from that day to Pentecost? Pentecost means 50. It's 50. Penta is 50. He was crucified on Passover. Pentecost is 50 days from Passover. He was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights, and then he rose from the dead, and then 40 days. So that leaves how many days left? 7 days. So they waited in Jerusalem for 1 week. So it wasn't like they were hanging out for a month in Jerusalem, you know, before the day of Pentecost. There was just 7 days. They were there for a week. So, and many of them were going to be there to wait for Pentecost anyways, because it was part of what the Jews did. So anyway, that was just a side note I thought would be good to throw in there. Hebrews 10:12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Where is Jesus at this present time? Right hand of God. Very good. But it says on. On at different passages say, you know, different things there. That one says on. Means, no, it doesn't mean he's sitting on his right hand. It, like literally, like on top of his right hand. It's on the right hand of him. To his right. All right. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Jesus is making intercession for each believer. John 14:2 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." I like that. "If it were not so, I would have told you." So Jesus is preparing a place for us who are saved. Interestingly, many of the modern versions change the word mansions to be rooms. My Father's house where there are many rooms. I think there's a problem with that. It changes mansions to rooms. That's quite a difference, I would think. Wouldn't you? Would you rather have a room or a mansion? A mansion, of course. So 1 John 2:1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." When a Christian sins, Jesus is an advocate with the Father. All right, the return of Jesus Christ. We'll deal with this more on study number 18, but here we'll look at just a basic thing, or basic concept of this. John 4:14-3, it says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus said, "I will come again." Acts 1:11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Now, this question is only answered if you read the passages or the verses before it. So it's kind of unfair here, but it says, who prophesied the return of Christ here? Anybody remember? There's two men standing in white raiment, which we recognize to be angels. So I just wrote angels. That one was a little unfair because you have to actually, because it has you read verse 11, but it's actually verse 10 or 9 and 10 that tells you who it was. So if you want to scratch that down there where it says verse 11, you can put 9 and 10 also. Titus 2:13 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of God, of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ," I'm reading the last one. "The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is called the blessed hope on our flag." What's that? Now, like, what's back there? No, see, the blessed hope. You can't see it because the pulpit's in the way. The blessed hope. Yeah, we could just put it back here. But then we've got the rejoice in the Lord always thing. You can put it right under that. Yeah. Politician? It'd be the Baptist flag, though. Hey, if If I'd rather be a Baptist politician than any other kind of politician. Let's see here. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What will happen to believers living and dead when Jesus returns? Okay, we'll ascend to heaven. I said we will be raised to meet him. All right. Yep. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We need to put that in the nursery. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. When Jesus returns for his people, how quickly will this event transpire? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In a moment. Just one moment, please. Yep. Por favor. All right. That is all for this one. Did anybody commit to memory John 1:1? John 1:1. You can go to your verses app here. You go to your Bible memory app. Here's John 1:1 right here. See it? I've already done it. You type it out. Yeah, see, I ought to charge for this, you know? So, does anybody know what the first word is? Without looking at it? In. Second word. The beginning was the word. And the word was no with God, and the word was God. Very good. Hey, look at that. We typed it out. We got it. Check it out. Look. Got it. I've already memorized that one, so on this app anyways. So there we go. See? Yeah, I should be paid for selling apps. That'd be great, right? That's a $5 app too. Yeah.